accession number 9474, reel 2.
Mr. George Harbottle, Reel 2. I wonder if you could tell me a little more detail of how you were trained on and how you gained in experience on the exchange, and perhaps some examples that might illuminate what was going on.
You simply had to use your own personal judgment as to what you could get out of people, and you had to get your friendship with the people that you had to do business with, and there is no doubt about it that there was a lot talked on the exchange which wasn't business. Golf, cricket, how Newcastle United had done the night before on the previous Saturday, and all that was a regular sort of general conversation, and you knew people probably on the golf course, and we had our own the Quayside Golfing Society, of which I have written the history just quite recently, and the results of the Calcutta competition were posted on the exchange, so that you could there was that going on there. You could see that all the time, and if there was a draw for a competition of the Golfing Society, it would be on there. And then occasionally we would play a cricket match between the Newcastle Commercial Exchange and the Hull Commercial Exchange, and go down there and play them, or they would come up and we'd play them, all that sort of thing.
So golf and, to a slightly lesser extent, cricket were part of the way that you got to know the clients.
Precisely.
The
yes.
Means of exchange.
Oh, yes. It's all part and parcel of knowing the other man.
Did you have any trouble developing your sense of judgment? Did you make any mistakes in the early days?
Oh, I suppose you did, and you landed your ship, and you couldn't get the rate of freight he wanted, and he came back and was very huffy because he'd lost the freight and somebody else had taken it. You've got to watch your step on that.
What would happen in those circumstances?
Oh, well, that's you'd probably get a wigging from your boss.
But it wasn't a terminal offence.
Oh, no. I mean, it's a question of bad judgment, and we can all do that, even him.
How many ships and would you be responsible for in a day or a week? What rate of exchange was going on?
It would depend very largely upon weather conditions just questions to what the demand was for shipping for that particular area. If you got a hard winter, there was a big demand for the Baltic, because all these countries become short of coal during a probably a hard winter. So there were more cargoes going up, and the rates of freight would go up in consequence.
So it was a seasonal business.
Yes, that's right.
What sort of a working day would you have? What length working day?
We started at 9 o'clock. Or if you're an office boy, you had to be there before 9. But normally it was 9 o'clock, and you came off the exchange at about 12:15. And then away for lunch. And then to back again for the afternoon session between 3 and 4.
When would the golf, for instance, take place? Would that be counted as work, or would that take
place after? No. There was one field day in the year which the golfers were allowed off, but taking all round, that wasn't that was only one a year. But you played your golf at night.
So that was your own way of getting
yes,
on.
That's right. I mean, we were generally finished by about 5 or 5:30. Sometimes it went on to 6 o'clock if you've got you're working a ship and you're hoping to get something done that night. But it wasn't often. You're generally finished by about 5:30.
Were you living at home during this period?
Yes. And I used to walk in from Gosforth.
Now, you were there on the floor of the exchange from 1912 until the outbreak of war.
From about 11 till 12:30. And then again in the afternoon.
No, sorry. You were there from 1912 until...
Well, 1912, yes, till 1914. And then, of course, it started again after the war.
Now, dealing as you did in commerce and shipping and such like, were you aware of any pressures of the approach of war at any time between 1912 and 14?
Did you? No. There were always sort of sound. There was the Agadir incident and North Africa with Germany and things like that. But nobody had any thought of a war.
So as you went into 1914... To you, it was a surprise when the war...
It came as a complete surprise.
Had you had any contacts with German businessmen or German commercial organisations? Did you deal at all with them? Because they have an outlet onto the Baltic.
Very much so. During immediately after the war...
No, before the war.
Before the war. Well, no... But there were regular shipments, big shipments to Hamburg. You see, Hamburg was one of the big markets from this part because it's so much cheaper to ship coal to Hamburg for the North Germany than it is to send it by rail from the Ruhr. And so it was a big market. For us from here, there were ships built specially for the Hamburg market, and running backwards and forwards week after week. In fact, there were two young men that friends of mine. I arranged a trip for them to Hamburg on a ship that was leaving. The bank holiday weekend. They were going over the bank holiday weekend. And it looked so, then on the Saturday, it looked so precarious. I warned them not to go. They went, and they were returned for the war. Well, probably them would have been killed otherwise.
So, what were your relationship like with these German customers? Were they perfectly amicable?
Amicable after the war.
Before?
Before the war, oh yes, oh yes. There were some sims anywhere, any other commercial people you were dealing with.
So there's no feeling of tension or commercial rivalry?
Not a bit, no.
Well, you mentioned one part. When did you first become aware that the war might break out? You mentioned Saturday.
Yes, the Saturday of the bank holiday weekend.
That was the first time?
That was really when it really began to show up. And Sir Edward Grey was beginning to talk dangerously. But of course it was on the bank holiday, Monday, that really it had boiled up. And actually the match that we were going to play, we were had a home match that afternoon, and there was no team turned up. And that's when two or three friends of us, we sat around and we discussed the war and what we should do. And one of them happened to be a serving territorial, and he'd got his calling up papers to report the next day. And he said, you chaps, you ought to come and join the 6th Battalion, Northumberland Fusiliers. Because that's the city battalion, he was in there, and he said, we're being called up, and you might just well get in there.
Now, prior to this, you hadn't joined the Territorials. Why was that? Was that because you were too young, they wouldn't allow you in? You hadn't joined the Territorials?
No, I hadn't become a Territorial, no.
Was there any reason for that?
Not particularly. I think it is simply that I had so many other activities, particularly cricket, and I didn't want that interfered with.
So the Territorials, you just saw as an extra.
Yes, that's right.
Right, now, so your friend, you were discussing with your friend, and one friend said you ought to try and enlist in the 6th, Northumberland Fusiliers.
Yes.
What was your response to this?
We said that was a very good idea, and we went and tried to join up, but they hadn't authority to sign anybody on. but they did get that authority the next day, and we signed on.
So, what date was that you actually signed on?
The bank holiday Monday. The Tuesday we couldn't get on. The Wednesday we did.
So. That they accepted you. Was there any sort of examination, either physical or of your qualifications?
I suppose they put you through a medical, but it was pretty dicey that.
In what way?
Well, I mean, the MO had a quick look at you, and he said, he's all right, put him in.
Now, were you joining with a commission, or were you joining as a private?
Oh, just joined the ranks.
Did you have any thought to taking a commission at that time?
No. No, I thought it was a war on. It's time I just joined in the ranks.
Was everybody thinking of joining up at this time, or was it just a few of you?
A great many were doing this, and once we got into the 6th Battalion Northumberlands, several of the cricketers came along and joined up as well, because they wanted to be in with the same lot.
So it was very much a popular feeling, and all your friends were doing it, so you were doing it. Did you have any deeper feelings about why you were doing it? Any resentment at what Germany was doing, or...
There was resentment about particularly with their attack on Belgium, and they were looked upon as being evil characters in consequence. There was that attitude all the time, and you felt you'd done the right thing in joining the war to fight against them.
How did this square up with what you already knew of Germans and Germany yourself, because you'd had dealings with them?
One felt that it was the higher command and the Kaiser and all these people, rather than the actual German that you knew.
You never visited Germany, had you? Or had you? Had you ever visited Germany? Or?
Oh yes. Regularly. I had a lot of business with Germany immediately after the war.
No.
But I'd never previously been to Germany.
So what actually happened on the day of your acceptance by the 6th?
We went we were taken from the St. George's Drill Hall, which is where we signed up.
At
Gosport. St. George's Drill Hall at in St. Mary's Place. We were then taken to a place in Market Street, which was... a dance hall, the troops were all dumped in there, and I, the floor on which a beautiful dance floor that I had danced on many a time, there were all the hobnailed boots of the British Army tearing up that floor.
So you joined the rest of the battalion,
they were all the battalion there, yes.
And you were mixed in. So how many? What proportion of new recruits was it to the old ones?
You mean the new people in? Oh, shoved in along with the other ones. We just went...
What proportion?
Push it into this company or that company. And as a matter of fact, the 6th Battalion was made up of... in those days, the territories were 8 companies. And A Company happened to be a quayside company. They were very largely made up of commercial people. And that company was always disliked by the rest of the battalion, who came mainly from Wall's End and were shipyard people and so on, because they thought they were a little bit up street, you know, and they always had a down on A Company.
Were you put in A Company?
We went into A Company.
And your friends as well?
That's right, we were all pushed in there together.
When you went to the dance floor, the dance hall, I presume you hadn't been issued with your uniform?
Yes.
You had or you hadn't?
Yes, we'd been given a uniform before we went in there.
Oh, straight away then?
Straight away, oh yes. Territorials had plenty of uniforms. Unlike Kitchener's Army.
Did your parents know what you'd done?
I told my father on the exchange that I was, the day when I was on the floor of the exchange, I went over to him and I said, I'm joining the army. He said, I think it's a proper thing to do. But he wouldn't let my elder brother join because he was still serving his time as an article clerk, and he didn't finish until the end of September, and he wouldn't let him join the army until he'd finished his qualification, which is quite right.
What about your mother? Did she say anything?
Oh, she thought it was the right thing to do. Yes.
So you got to this the dance hall. What happened next?
Oh, then we were taken away the next day to a school. They split us all up. The battalion was split up. Some went down to the to schools. See, it was time of the holidays. Went down to the schools at Jubilee Road. Some of us went up to Eastmoor and so on to different schools about in the place. And then we were hauled out together to do route marches and exercises together. And then eventually we were moved to Blythe.
Which school were you put at?
We were at Eastmoor, which is not far away from here. It's down in the near Killingworth.
Now, you'd only just joined A Company. How
yes.
did you settle in at Eastmoor School?
You just settled in as best you could. I mean, you were sleeping on the hard floor, and then we were there for a time, and then we went to the Newsham Road Schools in Blythe because we had to do defence duty at Blythe.
Could you tell me a little about your training? You mentioned route marches. What can you remember about route marches?
Generally, the A Company walked far too fast for the rest of the battalion. That's another thing they had against us. We were more athletic than they were. I think it was all a grumble that we marched. We set too fast a pace. The route marches were to harden your feet and your backs to carry the pack and all this sort of thing.
How far would you go?
Oh, probably a couple of miles.
Just a couple of miles?
Oh, yes. They weren't very long route marches.
Did you get any reaction from the local civilian population?
Oh, well, yes. We were, for a time, we were moved to Seaton Burn. We were in a miners' hall next to the church, and of course there were on at that time there were a whole lot of row of miners' cottages there, and the miners' wives cooked all sorts of grand things for us because our rations were pretty poor.
So you did these route marches. What about drill? Did you do much basic drill?
Oh yes. We were given a quite a bit of squad drill, and then open exercises in sections, and then in companies and so on. And particularly when it got to Blythe, you see, we were doing exercise along the sand dunes.
What sort of exercises would they be?
We were put up there. You see, there was an exercise when there had been an attack by the German fleet on you remember they shelled Hartlepool and Scarborough. And they immediately made us go and stand on these blasted sand dunes for 2 hours on, 4 hours off, on a bitter winter's night, which wasn't funny at all.
What were you meant to be doing? I mean, what purpose?
Defending the area from a German attack. What the dickens they thought any German attack would come, it was just purely political. Well, the place is now being guarded. The men are on there. Stupid idiots.
And that was your attitude at the time, was it?
That was the excuse, yes, at the time.
And you were just as contemptuous of why you were there then.
Yeah, precisely. Oh, yes. But Blythe was... there were some good positions. You see, you're going in squads onto different sections. If you had the light, there was a squad on the lighthouse. Now that was first class, because it was the most comfortable place you could possibly imagine. The one in the docks where you're perhaps trying to go to sleep, and the millions of rats there. But it wasn't too bad.
And so you were 4 hours on, 2 hours off?
2 hours on, 4 hours off.
Sorry, yes. And you just basically gazed out to sea. Was that all you were
meant to do? That's all I had to do, yeah.
Right, going back to your training, what extra rifle training did you and rifle shooting did you get?
Just the ordinary movement of the bolt of the lock and the taking of the rifle to pieces and oiling and cleaning and all that kind of thing, bayonet fighting and all that kind of thing.
Well, how did you practice your bayonet fighting?
With those scabbards on.
So you actually did.
Oh, you did actually do bayonet moving, but you weren't killing anybody, and you always had the scabbard on.
So you'd pair off to one against one and practice with the scabbard on, is that?
Yes, that's right.
Did you do any actual tactical exercises of mock attacks against positions or learning to advance in open?
Oh, yes, we did that kind of thing, but very largely as a tactical exercise, and very often in extended order, you know, attacking a mythical position.
Did you find that valuable?
We did. As a matter of fact, in the first attack we were ever in, we were doing just that.
How had your officers' training corps experience and training, how did it benefit you when you came to your territorial? Well,
it benefited me quite a lot in my complete knowledge of the rifle and all its parts. The tactical exercises were simply things that we'd already done.
Did you feel it gave you an advantage over people who hadn't gone through that?
Well, not particularly, because we're all learning it as we went along.
So it was just more reassuring that you had that.
That's right.
How long did you stay at Blythe? How long did you stay at Blythe?
At Blythe, about 4 to 3 weeks. And then we moved to Seton Durable because we wanted the battalion to be more together.
What month would that be that you moved?
January, February.
1915.
In 1915, yes. Wait a bit now. January, February. No, I think more like December.
December 14.
December 14.
Now, what? Talk a bit about the actual conditions of army life. You said at first you were just on bare floor, the bare floor of classrooms.
Yes.
Did conditions improve a little? Did you get issues?
Yes, we got blankets, and in one place we had these wooden slats which went onto something an inch or two above the floor. But mainly it was simply rolling up in a blanket and being thankful for that.
How many to the room would there be of you?
You see, if you're in a... we're nearly always in a hall, and therefore there'd probably be about 100 of you there.
Almost the whole company?
Yes.
What sort of... You mentioned food. What sort of food did you get?
Stews mainly in big dixies.
How were they served out to you?
With a ladle. Sometimes with meat in it, sometimes with bully beef in it, but of all sorts, and some vegetables. It wasn't bad.
Did you get enough?
Reasonable. Oh yes.
Was there any? Did you supplement the food you got? Was there a canteen or a shop?
Yes, you often bought bits and pieces of other things and cakes and one thing and another.
Did your pay get supplemented from home, or did you just live off your pay?
Oh, we lived off our pay.
So you?
Oh, there was there was no problem about that. I mean, it's only a shilling a day. It was a bit more if you had if you're an NCO.
But your parents didn't send you any extra.
There was no need to. I mean, you got your rations there and you ate them. And you had pocket money of your own if you wanted to buy anything more.
How did you react to the army lifestyle and discipline then, as a private? You come from a more privileged background than some.
Well, it was all part and parcel of a war, and you see, it was we were put into tents in Gosforth Park, the whole battalion, and there were 16 to a tent with all your equipment.
When was that? Was that after Seton?
That would be December. By the end of December and January, up to December, because in December we moved to Seton Delaval and went into the Seton Delaval Hall. There was the two halls there we had with the Miners Hall and the Masonic Hall in Seton Delaval. And that's where we were, and that's where we went abroad. From there, we went abroad in 1915.